Hey, Magic Makers, listen up. If you are done overcomplicating getting healthy, then I have something for you. My latest mini course, The Healthy Living Fundamentals, will help you to lead a simple, healthy life without giving up the foods that you love. All right, I see the eye rolls. Okay, maybe I hear the eye rolls. So let's think about it. How many of you have this effed up relationship with your body so that you go off and you're trying to find the hardest thing you can do to prove to yourself that you got this, that you are this badass? Well, hint, hint, you are this badass. So if you're done trying to chase your tail, trying to string 75 hard days together, you're done always feeling hungry, eating less calories than you need to survive on, and if you feel that you have to be perfect to get results, this mini course has your name all over it. The Healthy Living Fundamentals mini course, I spill all the beans, giving you simple strategies to help you become more consistent with your nutrition. All you got to do is go to the link in my bio and boom, you have it. And it will be 5 awesome days where you get a breakdown of how to do it, plus action strategies to add it to your lifestyle right now. Go over, grab it in the show notes, and good luck.
Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, Magic Makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show.
And here is this week's iTunes review. It comes to you from Dub by V. She writes, "I love the podcast. You speak your mind and you don't sugarcoat anything. I love your energy and your good spirit." Oh, that just fills my heart. You don't even understand how much I enjoy these reviews. So please, if you feel the need, please go to iTunes or wherever you listen to this podcast. Do me a favor and hit me up with a 5-star review. I absolutely love them. They mean the world to me, and I will read it on my podcast. So thank you so much, Dub by V. It does mean the world to me.
All right, Magic Makers, today I have another great episode for you. I mean, because clearly they are all awesome. All right, today I wanted to really break down what it actually takes to lose weight. And what I've actually done is I've taken this, and this is kind of the precursor, the prerequisite, if you will, for a free course that I am offering. And so you will also get that link in the bio for you to grab that. It's a 5-day course that basically will, don't worry, it's not going to take 5 hours. You know, it's not going to be a college level course. It's really, my goal is to hit the highlights, to get you up and running and stop you from spinning your wheels when it comes to this weight loss game. And so let me kick it off there, right? So the diet industry makes us believe that the first place we should start when it comes to losing weight is diet and exercise, right? You know, they will tell us that we need to eat a certain number of calories, do a certain number of minutes on the treadmill, do a certain number of crunches or squats, or do this 30-day challenge and bada, bada boom, bada bing, I will change my body, I will change my life. Oh, and don't forget this cleanse, and don't forget to get some protein powder, right? We tell us all of these things, and that by dramatically reducing our exercise or radically reducing our food or radically increasing our exercise or creating these magic bullet things, these quick fixes, I am going to have my best self, right? And so I don't know about you, but I am done chasing these freaking rabbits all around my yard, right? So I have said to you, and I want you to like just get like pissed off and just be like, I'm done, freaking uncle. I'm done chasing my tail. I'm done doing the same things over and over and over again and not getting anything for my effort, okay? So This might sound a little hard, but I got to say it, right? If I want different results, I have to do something different. What? Yes, I have to do something different because if I just press and think of it like shampoo, right? If I just rinse and repeat, and I look in the mirror and my body composition is not changing, I step on the scale and my scale's not changing, but I'm doing the same old, same old, same old, guess what? I got to do something different. Something has to change in order to get a change, right? And for many people, it's like, I got to hustle harder. I got to diet harder. No, we have to think differently, right? I want you to think about all of the people who've created, amazing inventions in this world, right? Elon Musk. He is the guy who brought us Tesla. Well, actually, he's the guy who brought us PayPal. And he said, wouldn't it be really easy if people can pay each other without having to deal with credit card malarkey? PayPal, right? How many of us don't even think about like sending someone an email address and saying, pay me $5 for something? I mean, now we have Venmo, but that's thinking differently. You know, before I had to, a friend of ours went out to dinner, I'd have to like, give them cash. Now I can just sit there on my phone and freaking Venmo them, right? That's thinking differently. So when it comes to diet and exercise, I want us to think Venmo, right? I want us to think, texting, iPhone, things that like, I don't know. I think the iPhone's more than 10 years old, maybe. I don't know. Google me and let me know. But think iPhone, right? Before the iPhone, you just talked on your phone. Now, if someone calls you on your phone, you're like, the hell? Why are you calling me, right? So here's where I want us to say, I'm ready to think differently, Kim. I'm at the edge of my seat. Get on with it. Stop me. Stop with this, all this like extra talk. I got you right now. All right. So I got six different things that I want you to think about and how I'm going to change the way I lose weight. And I'm going to start with what is the most important and work my way down, okay? If we were to visualize this in our head, if this were a pyramid, yes, that's the word I'm looking for. If this was a pyramid, we're going to start with the biggest swath and work our way up to the thing that, that's a nice to have. If I've already mastered every other step I've shared with you. Make sense? All right, let's go. All right, so we've been fed the story that for so long that can I just start that all over again, sweet Georgia Brown? This is why I shouldn't record my podcast on Sunday afternoons. My brain is absolute mush right now. All right. So we've been fed the story for so long that to make a shift, it has to be very uncomfortable, right? We need to struggle to hit my stride. And when I hit my 3-year weight loss plateau, as hard as I worked, as hard as I dieted, I couldn't bust that plateau. And so I had to radically do something different. And I just stepped back and I was like, you know what? I'm done with this radical malarkey, right? I'm done with it. You know, I had to break away from my old way of thinking that it was like, as soon as the scale went up, go hard, reduce, struggle. Like, you know, be that girl in the corner with a bag of carrot sticks and a jug of water, right? I was done being that girl. I wanted to find a way that I had balance, that I could not feel like I had to always have my foot like so hard on the gas pedal that I was going 90 miles an hour and I didn't feel like I had any control. So I had to break up with my own way of thinking. And when it comes to weight loss, the key is to ask ourselves better questions, right? And if you are someone who coaches with me, you know I ask a lot of questions, right? Because it's like, we need to start to go a little deeper into our own psychology, our own thought process, our own mindset, because that's what's going to keep us from losing the weight, is that if we keep putting up these mindset barriers. So how many times was I falling into the same, same patterns when it came to my diet and exercise because they were comfortable? I was like, it worked before. I know, even though it hasn't worked for the last 10 times, I believe this is the last time. I believe this time it's going to be really, really, really differently. So the first piece is I had to start really thinking about my food and being more intentional about when I was eating versus always eating to the clock, right? I bought into, I had to eat 5 meals a day, hook, line, and sinker. And if I didn't eat my 5 meals a day, my metabolism would go in the dumper and would not be stoked. So the first questions I had to start asking myself was, when I was eating, am I hungry? Right? Am I hungry? Right? And so many people, like I said, we believed that if I wasn't eating, my metabolism would just like take a big fat nosedive, right? If the hungrier I am, the more fat I'm burning. And if I am not hungry, then I'm not losing weight. So we all believed that hunger was this like good thing, that it was like, yeah, this is like, it's working if I'm hungry. But how many of you have gotten to that point where you were like white knuckling your hunger that you finally said, screw it, and you just went on a bender, right? So while hunger, you want to be to have a little hunger, eat to satisfaction, I don't want to be starving, right? And there's that fine line. And we all know that fine line of when we get hangry, right? We know the fine line when we get hangry. So when you're making this transition, the biggest thing I want you to ask is like, am I hungry? You know, or am I just eating to eat? Because we need breaks in our digestion. And I'm not talking about intermittent fasting. I'm talking about our food goes in our mouth and it needs time to go through the full digestion process and break down into a way that our bodies can utilize it. And so if we keep, I did a podcast about a month ago, and I'll put it in the show notes with Claudia, that I cannot think of her last name, but she wrote a book called The 1-2 Punch. And in The 1-2 Punch, she said, if we keeping the lid open on our eating and we never close that lid and have a chance for the food to work its magic, we're just going to be overeating calories, overeating beyond what our bodies need us to take. Right. So that's step one. Step two is to be more mindful about what it is that we're eating. You know, have you ever just eaten a meal and then you're just like, oh, shoot, did I eat? What the hell? And you just can't remember. Like you're like, you had some stuff on your plate, but you didn't take an opportunity to savor it. I was a very, very fast eater because I was always eating from a place of starvation, right? It was rare that I took the time to savor a meal and be like, these are all the fabulous flavors that are incorporated into this meal. So to be more mindful, one, just slow your booty down and just savor what it is that you're playing. Like visually, you know, just let the taste buds, when you actually put it in your mouth, eat until you're 80% full, right? You know, so many of us, you know, you see the pictures of like, oh, this is my food, baby. Really? Come on. Like, let's stop eating to the point that we're gorging ourselves. One of the biggest things I absolutely hate, it's my biggest pet peeve, is like Thanksgiving. And everyone's like, oh my God, I'm going to eat my weight. Why? Why? Like, why is being thankful equivalent to gorging yourself, right? How do we break that mindset of like, it's a normal meal, right? Just normalize it. It's a meal that I might be eating with people that I don't regularly eat with. That's it. The end. Break free from the food police, right? You know, a lot of times I'll start working with a client like, okay, can you send me over the good food list? No, there is no good food, bad food. There are foods that sure you can eat more of and short foods that you should eat less of, but there's no good food, bad food. Let's stop vilifying our foods. And then, you know, and judging the food I eat, you know, how many of you have been like out somewhere and you're like, oh, I'm so bad. I had nachos, margaritas, jalapeno poppers. I'm horrible. I'm the devil. No, you went out and you enjoyed yourself. The end. Moving on. And realize that like food's not your enemy, right? Like food doesn't like ring your doorbell and say, hey, I'm a jalapeno pepper, throw this in my mouth, right? It doesn't say that. We decide, we make choices. And here's where, a lot of times I tell my clients when they have those days, like we all are going to have off days, own your choices. Own your ish, right? This is a family show. So imagine what ish means. Own your poop, right? Own your poop. And respect your body, right? If we respected our body, would we be treating it like a freaking dumpster, right? Would we be eating like an a-hole? No, we would not. So that's step one, is being more mindful of what is it that I'm feeding my body? Am I even taking the opportunity to savor what the heck I'm putting into my mouth? And am I eating when I'm hungry? All right. The second place that we're going to go here is calories. Now, I know for years I was like, oh, calories don't matter if I'm eating whole clean foods. Well, guess what? I was eating whole clean foods and I overate my weight into 30 pounds, a 30 pound weight gain from clean whole foods, right? If you were to look at my food log, you would look at it and you'd be like, that's really nothing horrible on there, right? No, I was overeating too many calories for what my body was burning. So the biggest thing here is calculate how many calories our body actually needs to make. And when you do that, I don't want you to think about like, I need to balance to the penny, right? I'm just making this number up because I do not do math in my head. I stink at it. So say you need 2000 calories, right? So if I need 2000 calories to live a day to eat. So that's 2000 times four, that's 14,000 calories in a week, right? So if I look at my calories as a bank account, I have $14,000 this week. Woo! Now I need to say to myself, that's $14,000. And I'm going to make sure that I don't go over budget, because when I go over budget, that's when we gain weight. When I go under budget, that's when we start to lose the weight. So I really want to look at, as I'm going through my week, that it's not about, you know, hitting 2000 to the penny, because some days I might go a little over, some days I might come a little under, but at the end of the day, if I'm around that 14,000 mark, I'm doing absolutely fabulous, right? What gets us in trouble is that so many of us get caught up in our head, and we get caught up in our head and we're like, I must hit the number. And it makes you crazy. And so instead of making yourself crazy, just be like, this is what I have budgeted for the week. And my goal is to see how close I can get to that number without going over for the week. Because when we have this proper balance in our hormones, right? When we have this proper balance in our caloric intake, it has a direct impact on our hormones, right? So many of the women are over 40, like, hormones, right? So I have to ask, what are we doing for caloric intake? Are you even tracking that? And I know many of you will say to me, oh, I hate tracking, right? Okay, great. I do too. And you don't have to track forever. I always challenge my clients, when things aren't going well, that's when you track. And so when things aren't going well, that's when you track. And so what we have to look at is like, okay, what's going on? How are we feeling? So that we can understand that the food that I eat has a direct impact on my hormonal health. It also has a direct impact on my training, right? If I'm overtraining and under eating, my body is going to be in constant seeking mode, because I'm taking away energy from my body, and it's going to be looking to replenish that energy because it's not getting enough to fuel your activity. So we have to really, you know, it's this tipping point, and it's really, you know, listening to our bodies versus, you know, having our ego, our mind be the driver and be like, shut up, body. You don't know. I need to get here and I need to get here. Lickety split. Right. So here's where I challenge you to say, okay, even if you're not a fan of tracking, track protein and vegetable. Track to yourself how much protein am I getting in a day, and how many vegetables am I getting in a day? And start with like those two things, right? Because no one can overeat protein. No one can be like, oh my God, I just had 40 chicken breasts, right? Unless you're that guy who does the eating contest for, and he eats hot dogs. right? No one does that. And no one ever has overeaten too many fruits and vegetables. If you overeat too many fruits and vegetables, you end up in the bathroom because of all the fiber. Okay. So if I track those two things and then I let the rest of the nutrients fall on place, I'm doing pretty well. And we'll talk more about the other nutrients just a touch. So I also want to focus on nutrient density. So here's where so many people ask me, like, oh yeah, I need to buy organic, free range, grass fed, shade grown, blah, 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 whole food, like literally go to the store, Whole Foods or some equivalent of that type of store. No, being healthy isn't about eating all of that stuff. Like, yeah, that's great. But if I can't afford it, it's going to break my budget. I buy the best quality food I can, right? I live in this place called Good, Better, Best, right? No matter what you're doing, no matter where you're at, you can be at the 7-Eleven and be like, what is the best choice? What is the better choice? And what's the good choice, right? Everything can break down to good, better, best. And it comes down to choices. And that's the same thing with nutrient density, right? We want to choose foods that, you know, have the highest nutrient quality, right? So if we think about this, like an apple. Apple is, you know, the best choice. The better choice is the apple. The best choice is apple sauce, like unsweetened. And then the final choice is apple juice, right? So good, better, best. And as we do that, I also, you know, I started chatting about this earlier in the podcast, but I want to like circle back with you is that, you know, vilification, I think that's the word. If it's that, let me know. Vilification of food, that a poor choice that you in the moment doesn't make you a horrible person, right? Again, good, better, best. And you can look back and hindsight be 2020, right? I always think about like, you know, if I went off track, I like to look at it as like CSI. I look back and I'm like, okay, so this went down. What happened, right? Was it emotionally driven? Was it around friends? Was I not eating, right? I ask myself better questions so that I can make a different decision when I'm in that situation again, right? In psychology, it's called if-then planning, right? So before I even go out, think about if-then planning. If I have one margarita, then I'm going to make sure that I have a protein-filled meal, right? Or if I have chips and salsa, I'm going to skip the margarita, right? So you start to like come through with what your strategy is before you even get in the situation. Because a lot of times we can't think in the moment. Or, you know, I think about we have some of us, we have those friends who are food pushers, drink pushers. And, you know, some of us can, you know, find a way to fend them off, if you will. Others of us aren't as, you know, able to fend them off. So we can kind of start to say, if Sally says we're having margaritas, I can easily say, hey, Sally, I'm only having one tonight. I'm trying to lose some weight, right? And when we share that with our friends, my hope is that you have friends who are supportive of you versus, oh, girl, we'll get that done tomorrow, right? We want to make sure that we kind of set the tone. We set the stage. We create boundaries around this is my like, you know, hard line. And this is where I'm not going to cross. Then we talk into macros, right? So many of you have heard about macros. Maybe you have done macros, or maybe you're like, I have no idea what she's talking about. So let me just, for the people who are like, I have no idea what she's talking about. Macros are basically, are the components of calories. What are our foods made up of? And there are three major macros, if you will. Protein, carbs, fat. And they are all calculated, you know, you derive macros from choosing how many calories you're going to eat in a day. And then we can calculate out the macros. One of the big things that I find with macros is that one, people set them willy-nilly, right? I'm in a Facebook group and I heard that Jane, who, you know, is a 25-year-old trainer, she eats 2000 calories and she eats, you know, 300 grams of this and 200 grams of that You know, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that. No, we have to calculate it. And then it's not set it and forget it, right? You know, as we, again, our bodies are very adaptable, right? So as our bodies start to adapt, also as we kind of, I start asking you questions. All right, I set your calorie, I set your macros at this. What is your hunger, energy, cravings, right? That's where we're going to like constantly go back to. And I also am going to throw in two things, like, are you sleeping? And how's stress, right? Because if I'm not sleeping, I'm stressed like a mofo, then I don't care how hard you diet. I don't care how hard you exercise. Those two things are like evil twins. And they are just like, you know, chiseling away at all of your results. Okay. So the big thing here is that similar to calories, as you set your macros, you want to think about it across the week versus I must hit my macros to the penny. I had a client once and she was an accountant. So she was very cerebral. Sabrina, if you're listening, hey, she was very cerebral. And so, you know, I think her fat calories, I'm just making this up right now because I can't remember off the top of my head. It was like 10 years ago. She'd have 30 grams of fat. If she wasn't at 30 grams of fat, she would like in her food log, she would be like, I had a slither of cheese. I had a smear of peanut butter. And I'm like, what's going on with you? And she's like, well, if I don't balance to the penny, I find ways to like make sure I hit it. And I was like, oh, girl, you're an accountant. Right. So it's the average, right? Get as close as you can without going over. Nutrient timing. All right. I get this question a lot. Kim, when should I have my protein? Pre-workouts, all of this stuff. Now, they all have their place, right? And, you know, in the early 2000s, there was all this research and, you know, all the bro science was out there saying you had to get protein in your system within 30 minutes of your workout or you lost your window, right? And what we have started to uncover, unpack over the last 10 years is that while for certain people, certain populations, that is the case. But if we're not doing everything else I talked about, right, if we're not eating consistently, it doesn't matter about my protein window, right? That's not the case. Like we need to come back to consistency first. Before we start getting fancy with this nutrient, with this nutrient timing, you know, because nutrient timing becomes—I'm going to call it—it becomes a nice to have. I got to focus first on my consistency, right? How's my hunger? You know, am I eating mindfully? You know, why am I eating and what are you eating? Before we get into, you know, I need to have a pre-workout and then I got to be sipping on BCAAs during my workout, right? For most of you, you don't need to do that, right? I'm going to save you some money. But others of you, yeah, that makes absolute sense. And if you're not sure what category you fall in, holla, right? Do me a favor, reach out to me. You can find me at hello@kimbarnesjefferson.com and we can have a conversation about that. The last thing here is supplementation, right? And so, you know, you go everywhere and you can pretty much buy a protein powder everywhere. I think you can buy a protein powder at like the 7-Eleven, right? So you can't supplement a bad diet, right? You not having a nice base level of nutrition, knife and fork nutrition, is never going to go away, right? So when we eat knife and fork meals, there's a thing called the thermogenic effect of food. And what that does is my body needs to raise my body temperature, trigger multiple digestive processes to digest food. And that also, so I burn a little bit of calories every time I eat a knife and fork meal. When I drink a shake, it's already pre-digested, right? Let's think about it, right? So like if I think about chicken, it is a solid and my body has to use energy to break that down into a liquid so that my cells can absorb it. A shake already has that same thing, right? And so you're missing out on the whole, that whole extra calorie boost to take that solid and break it into a liquid. The only thing my body has to do is take it from its cold state, warm it up a touch, and then toss it into my cells. And so what protein powder is truly meant to do is to be an aid, right? So I have clients who are nurses, personal trainers, and eating five meals a day, or, you know, you can only eat at a certain time of day. They need something fast, fast, fast. So they supplement with protein powder, right? And if you are a client of mine, you know that I'm like, hey, don't have more than one shake a day, right? If you're only eating three meals, no more than one shake or bar a day, right? Because I have people who come to me and they're shake and bar junkies and they're just not getting enough nutrients. And they're like, they're wondering why they're hungry because it just doesn't give you enough food for enough bang for your buck. I feel the same way when you get all fancy and your lighting falls down. I feel the same way about rice cakes, right? Rice cakes, they're nice, but they don't give you enough bang. All right. So gotta love when you do your own things. There we go. Rice cakes just don't give you enough bang for your buck. All right. So what I'm saying is foods first, and then think about what it is that you're using the supplement for. And if I'm not being consistent with anything else in my life, does the supplement I'm eating right now, using right now, does it make sense in my world? And if you have any further questions, let's dive into this. And I would love to help you out. But yeah, those are the kind of, like I said, we've worked our way up to the top. So I want to first start with, okay, I need to be mindful. Like, what the hell am I eating? Then I need to start thinking about calories, right? What are the how many calories do I need to take in my body to nourish it, to help me hit the goals that I'm trying to achieve? I need to think about, you know, what is that nutrient density, my food quality, breaking up with that good food, bad food list, you know, then I can start to get into the, like, kind of start getting into more of the nuanced things where we start changing, playing with macros and starting to get things a little fine tuned. You know, some of you might not remember the day where you just didn't punch a button and you automatically got to the station. There, back in the day, you used to have to tune the radio. And I want you to think about when you had to tune that radio, sometimes you had to like move it a little to the right or a little to the left to really get that the station to come in clearly. So the same thing when it comes to your macros, right? It's not this like set it and forget it kind of thing. Then we come into nutrient timing. And as I mentioned, right, unless I'm being consistent across everything, nutrient timing is a nice to have. And then lastly, we talk about supplementation, right? Supplementation is a great way if we are time starved, but it shouldn't replace knife and fork meals, right? If I have the time for a knife and fork meal, take the time for a knife and fork meal, right? And really focus on if you are supplementing, right? Why? Why are you supplementing? And can you have one, can you just have one shake a day and see how you feel, right? Does that shake also, is it satisfying? And is it satiating, right? I know for me, I can't start my day with a shake because I'm hungry for the rest of the day. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it has been quite fabulous. Like I said, I have created this 5 days, it's 5-day weight loss fundamentals course. Do yourself a favor, grab the link in my bio or grab the link at the end of the show notes and you can see for yourself, start to fine tune these 5 steps for yourself. And as always, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, compliments, please hit me up. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach on Facebook as well as on Instagram. All right, ladies and gentlemen, rock on with your bad self.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic Podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.